Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk.
Quick snap. Johnson fires it out. It is caught. It is caught. Jeremy Sprinkle to the pylon. Redskins touchdown. PAT would tie it up. Third and 16. Kessler going to throw it out. Deflected. Intercepted. Fabian Moreau at the 35 to the 40. Still on his feet to the 45-yard line. Redskins in business. 2:31 to go as they pick Kessler. 36-yard attempt for the ball game for Dustin Hopkins. Right down the middle. Snapper is Andrew East. The holder, Tressway. The snap. The kick is up. The kick is good. Bullseye! Bullseye Hopkins hits it, and the Redskins win 16-13. Their 600th regular season win in dramatic fashion, running their record to 7-7 and still in the playoff hunt.
I thought it went to the chorus there. Hang on.
Shovers, hang on.
No, we're live now.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast.
We got Jacksonville's own.
Jacksonville's own. That was a win. Let's set it up with that. That was a hell of a win.
Post-game victory pod for the first time in a month. Feels good to be back.
We got some positive music going. Let's go.
Here we go. Here we go.
Even the losers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get lucky sometimes. Even a loser.
There go our listeners. We're now talking to ourselves.
Yikes.
All 10 right. out of 10 E.
I wanted to play that because, so if everybody doesn't know, it's Tom Petty singing Even the Losers. The chorus is Even the Losers Get Lucky Sometimes. Everybody counted the damn Redskins out. And this game was really ugly to watch. Let's be clear about that.
Super ugly football.
Jacksonville is a bad team with maybe the worst offense out there. I don't know. That's a bad offense. But the Skins gutted out a win that they desperately needed. When everyone thinks they're done, they respond. And take from it whatever you want, but they're not going to go 6-10. They're not going to lose out. This team's going to be at least 7-9. I think it says a lot about Jay Gruden. I think it says a lot about the guys in that locker room. I'm not here to sing, to talk Super Bowl trips.
You are here to sing.
That's right. I am here to sing. I'm not here to talk Super Bowl trips. I'm not even here to talk playoff trips. That was a big win. I'm happy for Josh Johnson. The locker room's going to be different. All the BS that we've been talking about for weeks is going to chill out for a minute.
Yeah, it's nice.
Mitch is here. Pete's here. Danny Frank is here.
What up, guys?
What up, everybody?
Everybody's smiling. It's so good to see your smile.
We haven't had one of these. Like, I feel like Dallas was a kind of upbeat losing pod.
Yeah.
Because Colt played, and they were kind of in it. They had five bad minutes.
We were
drinking
beer in the press box.
I was excited to see the defense back playing well.
Now, they played a terrible offense.
They played a terrible offense.
With a terrible quarterback.
Six sacks? Yeah.
Couple turnovers.
Leonard Fournette can get off at
times.
Who's
Dave Williams? I mean, he was the running back. I think he played at Arkansas. That was a hell of a noise you made, Mitch.
That was my...
Dave Williams had 5 carries for 32 yards. He kind of moved the ball. Fournette couldn't really get going, 11 for 46.
I mean, big 25-yard run down at the end right before the pick. I mean,
their best ball carrier was Cody Kessler. He had 6 for 68. But the Skins kept the Jaguars' offense under 200 total yards. The sacks, I think, dominated. And then it was the turnovers. We talked. I wrote. Pete wrote. Mitch sang about the formula for the Redskins to win games is try to run the ball. Don't turn the ball over. Control the clock. Control time of possession. They did it.
This was that formula like on steroids. Like it was extra, extra ugly. But it's what they needed to do. And Josh Johnson, just his first career win as an NFL starter. This win may not have happened against 20 or 25 other teams or in other stadiums this week or in any other week. But for one day in Jacksonville, it was enough for him. And it was just really cool to see how he was excited afterward. All the teammates in the locker room. So the Josh Johnson game is one I'll remember for a while.
Yeah, the guys were saying in the locker room afterwards that they said the locker room was raucous. I mean, it's a win.
This locker room?
They said they were excited.
I thought it was surprisingly subdued for a win.
They when the team came off the field.
Okay.
The way that Josh was when the game ended, did you see the gif of him pounding the ground?
Rolling around on the field.
But
so
he was getting ready to do the interview with CBS or whoever it was after the game, and he was kind of the PR staff was bringing him over there, and he couldn't stand still, like waiting for Ryan Kerrigan to finish his interview. He was running and yelling at the towards the fans, and it was a wild scene for Josh, who obviously has waited a really long time for this. And he was hyped. I mean, after he finished the interview, he was screaming as he was running into the locker room. And I think that kind of enthusiasm is infectious.
I liked that he was asked post game if he was going to keep any mementos from this game, and he said,
"I don't know yet. I haven't got that far, honestly. I know right everything that I just experienced is right here, and the things that I was experiencing on that field, I know that it was somebody looking down on us today." And I think as of right now, I got enough of it in this memory bank that I'm going to let it ride for there. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Redskins create some good content or something. We'll see.
That dude's a quote machine.
Yeah, he is. The one thing I was just going to say is that the team had a chance to quit on Jay Gruden, and they didn't. And we've talked a lot about how much of a player's
Usually
coach he
Pete
is.
Steals my bits. Now you're stealing my bits.
Am I stealing it?
I mean, no. Sure, maybe.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to say, I don't know if it – I don't think they quit on him, but I also think a lot of this is they play Jacksonville because last week it kind of
hey,
looked like
– Hey, Optimist Pete's back.
Sorry, I don't want to do this so early. I just want to jump in now and say, yes, they didn't quit on Jay, but yes, they also played the Jaguars and Cody Kessler.
Sure, sure, sure. And that's a big part of this.
Yes.
And let's not fool ourselves, right? But
I just want to go back to Josh real quick. It was like the dirtiest.
Pete's in charge.
Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
Filthiest jersey.
We never even let Mitch finish his point.
That's all right. Let's go. Go, Pete. Go ahead.
A lot of hostility in here all of a sudden. Filthiest quarterback jersey I've ever seen after a game. Josh Johnson finishing runs, getting knocked down left and right.
Sure glad he got
hurt.
Cut off for that nugget.
Mitch got interrupted for Pete to talk about how dirty Josh Johnson
I think it just shows
was.
That he just... You just went so hard today. I was going to do anything he could to win.
You jump in a pool with your shirt on, and now you're on the shirt beat.
I am on the shirt beat, yes.
I agree with you. I think last year the Skins had the terrible losses, Dallas the week after Thanksgiving and then in L.A. against the Chargers. Came back home and everybody thought they were going to quit, thought Gruden was going to get fired, and they won two in a row. And the games were terrible and ugly, and it was the Broncos and the Cardinals. But it shows that these guys keep playing for Jay. And there are a lot of folks – I tweeted that out earlier, Mitch. That's why I was making a joke.
Oh, I didn't say that. Sorry.
After the game, I had a tweet that was like, don't let this get lost. This team doesn't quit on Jay Gruden. And the two responses I got, one is, well, they quit last week. And they did. The defense quit after the Sanchez pick six. I firmly believe that. That doesn't mean there are plenty of teams that quit on the season. They're like, you know what? I'm not playing for this dude anymore. That happens in the NFL.
Absolutely.
That's when you see guys get fired. That's when you see massive changes in season. That has never happened with Jay. And as much as we knock him at times for maybe being too lax, too comfortable, whatever you want to say, there's a reason these guys show back up for him.
They were 0-4 in opening games of the season, if you guys remember back to week one. And we talked about in training camp how the players were saying, we owe it to Jay to win week one. This is kind of a carryover of that momentum. You see how much of a player's coach he is and how much these guys want to fight for him. And yes, it is Jacksonville. And yes, they're terrible. And everything else you want to say. At the same time, as JP just said, teams quit in the NFL. That happens every single season. And these guys could have come out and rolled over. Trent could have missed the game because his thumb was hurting. Ionitis could have missed because of his calf.
Adrian Peterson has been playing with a separated shoulder right. for weeks.
All these guys, if they didn't respect Jay and respect the team, it's super easy for them to say, this hurt. Josh Holsey came back in week 15. Give it up for these guys.
Agreed. One thing we should have done earlier is thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of mm-hmm. Virginia. What happens with Orsman Automotive, Danny?
Danny Frank.
You ride with them, we ride with us.
Sold. It was the New York version of that comment, but we'll take it.
How about, I think it's important the defense had an effort like this today, too, because we described the mood last week as tenuous and stressed out. Those guys were sniping at each other, sniping at coaches. So against Cody Kessler or not, the fact that they were able to come out and suffocate an offense completely and the D-line worked and the linebackers are getting involved in the run game, I think that's really important. It kind of resets things and gives them a little more optimism with 2 weeks left.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that the D-line step up. We've been talking about how much things have changed the past 4 weeks or so. But, man, John Allen came out like a man on fire.
Kerrigan. He was,
and Kerrigan, too.
Payne had a great game.
In pregame, each individual position does their little huddle groups. And we usually shoot them so you get the nat sound of the guys pumping each other up or whatever. I went over to shoot the D-line group. And John Allen, like, literally hand in camera, just was like, not today, man, not today, and, like, pushed me away. And I was like, cool. And it's, you know, obviously it's something that I want to shoot and that you guys want to see and hear. But you also kind of respect the fact the guy was like, you know, this isn't a for-show thing. Like, we're in this moment. We got to go.
I talked with a few coaches as they were leaving. Two offensive, one defensive. I'm not going to give them up. The defensive coach as he was leaving, I was like, man, you guys really needed that win. And he just looked at me and was like, you have no idea. I think there was some heat on the defensive staff. Oh. Let's be real about this. And I asked Gruden last week in our sit down. I was like, look, man, this is the time of year where assistants start to get fired. Are you having those conversations? And Jay said no. It was funny. I got into this with Dukes on the radio. Gruden does a hell of a job of keeping his cool. Good times, bad. What Dukes contended was last week in the presser, if you remember, Jay got a little hot with Hoffman and with Levero when they asked some pretty pointed questions that deserved to be asked, absolutely. And I was like, for an NFL head coach, that's not really hot. That's fairly low on the Richter scale, I would say. And Jay, I feel like Jay always kind of sees the big picture. And I want to be clear, I don't think this is a playoff team. I don't think there's a miracle coming. Maybe it happens, it'll be a great story, but I ain't predicting it. I know Pete isn't. Yeah. Pete doesn't even want to give him credit for the win.
I do want to give them credit for the win.
No, you
but
don't.
Yeah. Yes, I do. How
well,
could
dude,
you not?
This is the question I asked you in the hallway.
Right.
So Pete, on the podcast last week or whenever, said, I'm not even sure they should win. And there are people, I'm seeing this on Twitter, saying they should be tanking for a draft pick. Or you know, somebody just tweeted me that said, Jacksonville gave them the win because Jacksonville's trying to tank for a draft pick. That is all nutso BS. Nobody gave
anybody
anything.
I'm not
with
that line of thinking.
I know. Yeah. But I want to ask you your question from last week. Is it bad that they won?
I didn't
Pete?
Say
that. Mitch and I shot it down last week, and I certainly think we're doing the same today.
I'm absolutely shooting it down this week.
I didn't say that they should not win. I'm saying long-term is a win the best thing for them.
So answer your own question.
How's that different than saying – answer your question.
Right now, it certainly feels like winning is the better choice. But yeah, it's the short term versus long term. This feels great right now.
Say what you want to say.
I'm saying right now this feels great. Everybody's excited. But hello, this was still there. Nothing magical happened today that all of a sudden convinced us that this is a playoff team. And yes, it's great that Jay Gruden has this cool temperament. But these are the things we criticize them for when they lose. He's so cool. It keeps them. They rebound. They fight for him. And then when he loses four in a row, it's Jay's so cool. Why doesn't he push these players more? So these are things that just kind of flip-flop based on the result. It's just one result. I don't know if this is the best thing long-term. It feels great now. I love this. But long-term, I still don't know if this is the best thing.
It's a fair point. But here's what I'll say. The NFL is a finite product. Each season is its own eternity.
Yeah.
And you only get 16 of these games, and you try to win every damn one of them. And any notion of tanking or any of that for a team that we can sit here and deny their playoff hopes, right? But the dudes in that locker room, go tell Adrian Peterson they're not playing.
No, thank you.
Go tell Trent Williams. Go
also no, thank you.
Go tell DeShazer Everett, who's
I was going to say, forget Trent and AP. Right. You have 30 guys on this team aren't going to be on the Redskins next year. You know,
there's churn.
There's that a churn and burn. Maybe that's a high number, but
it's a very high number.
15, 20.
Yeah, certainly. Whatever the number
Zach
is.
Zach Kieran and those guys aren't coming around.
Tell effing Nick Sundberg, who has been playing all year with a herniated disc, taking epidural shots so he can stay in the game, finally had to shut his season down. And the thing that hurts him the most is that he doesn't get to keep playing with these guys. Like, you play to win the game.
And they play to have a job next year. They play to have a job in 2 years.
Like, it's all about self-preservation.
Yeah,
man.
When guys quit, it shows up on film, and that's the film that coaches watch. They're not sitting there watching the highlight reels of whoever, Tony Bergstrom, you know, having a crackdown block. They're watching a full game and seeing how the guy plays play to play, minute to minute, quarter to quarter. These players aren't quitting, and the players aren't worried about next year's draft position. Because that's going to be their job. They give up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to Mitch's point, I remember, I think I was talking with our buddy Rudy, and it was the same. It was when we were going down to New Orleans for that game. He's like, and I try to explain this like gently, I suppose, that like for fans, now the result has kind of changed what it felt like. But if you remember when a lot of the conversation around that Saints game earlier this year was, oh, this is the Skins' chance at revenge for last year when the Saints came back and beat them. And I was like, dude, players aren't thinking about that. Like, Deron Payne wasn't on the field. Like,
right.
For players, they are focused on the following week. And maybe occasionally you look big picture.
Of course.
But, like, they're not thinking about, you know, oh, we lost to Philly and Sanchez didn't play well when they play in week 17. It's a new beast every week.
I mean, you think they're going to be worried next year when they play Philly about what happened with Colt McCoy's leg and Mark Sanchez? No.
Colt won't even be worried about it.
Right. Colt won't even be worried about it.
I feel like we're headed for a long pod here. So let's thank the good folks, Oorsman Automotive of Virginia, our guy Bob Biaggi. Go buy a Chevy, a Buick, a GMC from Oorsman, Chevy Buick GMC of Alexandria. They're right there across the bridge from National Harbor, which is where I think the Redskins Stadium ends up.
Ooh.
Hello.
Is that a nugget?
I've been saying that for a long time.
I know. I've been saying Dulles.
Incorrect.
I think you're incorrect.
Okay.
Oorsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oorsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oorsman story.
Oorsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oorsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oorsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oorsman story.
Oorsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Do we want to go notes or just get into game balls? I'm cool either way. You guys, Pete's got a sheet of paper.
I kind of think game balls always turns into fun notes game balls too. Notes segments.
Yeah. So. I agree too. All right, let's just go to game balls. I'm going to start, and I'm giving it to the quarterback, Josh Johnson.
We had a message in the week. We just said we was going to say, I'm not going to say the words, but it was F it. I owe this game that much because I love it that much. I mean, I put this work. I've stayed around this game for that long.
I mean, the guy's just a quote machine, and you try not to get caught up in this stuff working in our line of work because you've got to be in a position to slam them when things go bad. But you could root for that dude.
We've also had quarterbacks win the press conference now. We've had three different quarterbacks win a press conference this year.
Now he's the first one to win a game, though. Colt and Mark.
Yeah. Colt.
Colt, easier to root for. Mark, easier to root for. Josh Johnson, easiest to root for.
You know, Pete, that was a good line, buddy.
Thank you.
Johnson finished the game 16-25, 151, a touchdown, rating of 93.
Rushing?
He ran for about 50 yards, 9 rushes, 49 yards.
I love the head first.
How many turnovers did he have, JP?
That's what matters, Pete. Yes. Zero. No picks. No. He had a fumble.
That's
The ball just got ripped from his hand.
No picks was huge. That's how you win these terrible games. He made plays with his feet when it was there, didn't do anything silly. I thought he played smart, and I think these guys believed in him. Josh Johnson, maybe the easiest game ball I've ever given up.
To that point about the guys believing in him, in the locker room afterwards, we're asking players, you know, what do you think of Josh, and this, that, and the other thing. The one thing that they talked about was the confidence that he had going into the locker room, going into the huddle. They said they could feel his confidence, and they could kind of play off it. And you don't, you know, for a bunch of NFL players, you don't hear them talk about a quarterback's confidence very often because they expect everybody to roll in with confidence. But I think because it's a fourth stringer and the guy hasn't been in the league and this and the other thing. But it was cool hearing those guys talk about it because he brought them together.
Adrian Peterson afterward in the locker room, I kind of watched him. He went up to Josh Johnson, gave him a long fist bump, and kind of said, like, I appreciate you, keep building. And they had this cool kind of moment. So there's a lot of respect between AP and Josh. And the reason I asked you for the turnovers, JP, this isn't like a primary game ball here, but I think this is a overlooked thing. Morgan Moses recovered that fumble on the drive. I don't know if it's a game ball in and of itself or a hat tip, but...
Yeah,
I don't think we can give more.
Okay, well, without that ball being recovered, that drive ends and the Red Sox don't win.
Hat tip.
Individual play, hat tip.
Okay, well then, individual play, game ball, Jameson Crowder for making the bobble catch on said drive a couple
absolutely.
Plays later.
Huge.
Yeah, just says when that happens, I just think about going and getting the ball and then taking care of business after that. So
finished with four catches for 46 yards. That's the Skins leading receiver.
Yeah, that drive is going to get forgotten because the Adrian Peterson drive right after is what sealed it. But that second
the touchdown drive
is
not going to get forgotten. Okay. That was, I mean, they tied the game.
10 plays, 60 yards, tie game. But they had...
you're going to write about that, right? Everybody can check that out on my team's app.
Yeah, so Jameson Crowder... And sorry, Morgan Moses, I was trying to give you game ball. He'll take a hat tip, though, because I understand he had a rough game elsewhere. But offensive lineman recovering a fumble is a big deal, especially when it extends a drive that eventually ends in a touchdown.
I think Morgan had two holding calls that were absolute malarkey. And that doesn't...
Malarkey.
It doesn't... I'm not taking away anything else from his... I think he jumped one time, too. But he didn't have a great game, but he had two holding calls.
Hell, if you're saying the holds were malarkey, you want to give him a game ball?
I think he gets a hat tip. He didn't have a
He says game. That now, before every game, officials come up and talk to him. He feels like he's a marked man.
I think he kind of is, but I also think he's kind of doing it.
But he's marked for a reason at times, too.
There have been games where he's held the damn player. Today wasn't really one of those games. We talked a lot with the guys this week about...
So you gave the game ball to Crowder?
Crowder.
Crowder okay. game ball.
You're up, Mitchell. I just didn't know where we were on that.
Yeah, sorry. Jameson Crowder game ball.
James Brown Peter Haley. Just finishing podcast. The Morgan Moses thought. We talked with a lot of the guys about the holding calls on the O-line, and Trent made a great point about how the genesis of holding hasn't really changed much as the game has progressed.
You loved this.
I did. It was a very astute point from Trent.
Right.
He was talking about some of the plays that he gets called on holding, and, you know, there's one guy who's watching five offensive linemen, and you see a D lineman hit the turf hard, and all of a sudden it seems like it's a hold because how else is the D lineman going to end up on the ground? But he talked about how D linemen are, you know, obviously coming forward and the O linemen are backing up on the pass rushes. And his big move right now this year has been to just slap the arms down the D linemen. And because their momentum is so far forward, they just hit the ground. And he says he keeps getting called for holding on that because the refs think that he's just grabbing the jersey and pulling it down. And it was a good point. I liked it.
You're up, Mitchell.
Game ball. I'd like to stay on the offense, but I don't want anyone to steal John Allen from me, so I'm giving John Allen one. Pre-game, we talked about the way he was, and you could see how fired up he was. He came out and made a huge stop early in the game. Met Leonard Fournette in the hole, picked him up and carried him backwards 5 yards before they blew the whistle. Obviously, the two sacks. Game ball for John Allen.
Ryan Kerrigan, two sacks. Strip sack, he moved past Charles Mann on the Redskins' all-time sack list. He's now number two by himself, only behind Dexter Manley. Kerrigan never misses a game. It's another double-digit sack season for him. There's not enough good things you can say about Ryan Kerrigan. What he does for the team, what he does on the field. Not the vocal leader type, but like if there's ever a, what do you call it? Watch what I do leader? What do you call that?
Leader through actions?
Sure. Yeah.
An LTA?
Yeah. Ryan Kerrigan is the LTA of all LTAs.
Thank you for rolling with that. Yeah, Jonathan Allen said the one word that comes to mind is consistency from Ryan Kerrigan. I would agree. Another game ball. Fabian Moreau, first career interception. set up the game-winning drive. We've had a lot of debates or questions this year of whether Fabian Moreau is good. We still don't really know if that's true, but late
huge
in the fourth
pick.
Quarter, a good huge pick, pick, a good return, ran all the way down to the end zone, posed with the defense, and that was a big moment
for
him.
They do the flight marshal bit?
I think they and then they kind of pose for a photo because that's the hot fire these days.
They
pose
for the photo first, and then they locked him up.
Oh, it's a dual celebration.
Yeah. What is it, like a fake pose
yeah,
for the
photo? Yeah, everybody kind of mugs for the camera.
I mean, that's your beat, Pete, all that kind of goofy stuff.
So, Fabian, congrats on the first pick, and I'm going to give you a game ball, so you go hang that up in your bedroom there.
I'm going.
Sorry.
I'm going Adrian Peterson, if for nothing else than the last drive.
Yes.
He's the veteran leader of this team, and he put the offense on his shoulders and trudged through some holes. He had that great, it was a little pass flare out to the outside that he kind of stopped short.
Oh,
that
was nice.
Two DBs run by to get that first down.
Big time.
You can't say enough about AP, and we've been talking about him for the season, for weeks. About what he brings to this offense, and today was that those what six carries on the final drive, five carries and a catch were the perfect example of a veteran leader stepping up and putting the offense on his back.
Can I give out a pair of hat tips?
Sure, JP.
So it's not one game ball; it's a pair of hat tips. Yeah.
Is it the same player?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mason Foster made some tackles. They held a Jags run defense pretty well. I think Mace. Considering the week he's had and everything that's going on, I think he showed what he needed to show, that he's still a leader for the team and a capable linebacker. And then we have bashed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
That was going to be my hat
tip. Are you giving him a game ball?
No, I was going to give him a hat tip.
He made a really good play to break up one of Cody Kessler's few accurate passes. That was a big third down, forced a punt. I thought Ha-Ha played much better than we've seen, and he made one key play.
We've talked about the tackling for the past – quarter of the season or whatever, and it was still an issue today, don't get me wrong.
Oh.
But Ha stepped up and put a hat on a hat in the hole a couple times.
Put a ha on a ha.
Jeez.
He made a couple big hits in the hole. He definitely took on some lead blockers along the way. He was much improved this week.
I'm going to give out a hat tip to this player because I feel like he had a very bad day run blocking. But Jeremy Sprinkle coming into today had two career catches, and Jeremy Sprinkle had three catches in the game, including the touchdown to cap off that drive, which showed some nice hands, then turning around to break into the end zone. Jeremy Sprinkle.
You know what's funny? Sprinkle, I think, as a blocker, is better in space than he is at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he had some trouble with big guys kind of knifing through quickly, but he helped in the passing game for sure.
You know what's funny about the – we were talking to Sprinkle postgame about the touchdown. Did you pick up on this?
Did his little dance?
I asked him if that's his go-to dance forever, and he said yes. So I can confirm Jeremy Sprinkle's signature dance is the Sprinkle.
They asked him
credit
about
Pete Haley?
Yes. Reds and Sox podcast.
They asked him about the play that was on. He's like, oh, it's just a pick play. He's like, I was supposed to run interference and set a pick and then kind of finish off into the flat into the end zone. And it just kind of stuck with me because – no offense is going to admit the offenses shouldn't admit the running pick plays. Call it a rub, damn it. Yeah. It's a rub.
There you go. You're up, Mitch. And I think we're missing two fairly obvious ones and then a hat tip.
Dustin Hopkins.
Yep, that's one of my obvious ones.
Obviously, game winner.
Hit three field goals, I think.
And, like, I mean, it doesn't matter how it goes in, but dead on balls, center cut all three times.
I'm going to Tress. Yeah. Another two or three punts inside the 20.
Inside the five.
I mean, two inside the five.
So that's
touchbacks on the year for that dude is unreal.
So we're sitting on the sideline, and he has the long punt. What is it, a 70-yarder or whatever?
One that 16. Got returned?
No, the one that down to the 2-yard line.
Oh, right.
He turned it over. So, like, in the air, the ball turned over. And as it's in the air, I was like, oh, no, this is his first touchback of the year. And it just lands and pops straight up, and then down at the 2-yard line.
It's like we're watching a no-hitter, and we're like in the eighth inning at this point.
I couldn't believe that ball didn't go into the end zone.
That's a great comp, Pete. Because I think we're all kind of rooting for him to go the whole year with no touchbacks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like the punt return touchdown sucked, but we're all here for the touchbacks, so it's okay. I guess I'll complete the trifecta and Andrew Reese.
That's what Danny wanted.
I mean, the dude got in on Friday, and Dustin said. What, they didn't have any practice really on Friday, so they did some kicking in the bubble and then kicking in warm-ups, and that's all they really had was a handful of kicks to work on it. And Dustin said he adjusted a little bit by coming to the ball maybe a half second slower.
Is this a hat tip or game ball?
I'm giving you a game ball. Screw it.
And
he snapped the ball on the game-winning field. Oh, because you think it's a little slow coming out?
That was the word on the broadcast. Now, okay. I'm not timing snaps, okay. But that was what
upon
the broadcast
learning
said.
That
they also they ran a stunt. I mean, they're trying to go after the new long snapper.
A punt got blocked and a punt got returned for a touchdown. And he's a part of that.
I think it's a hat tip.
Okay,
situation.
Fine. I'll dial back. I will return my Andrew East jersey that I ordered. I'll give him a hat tip.
How about
a kid I went to high school with that used to give me a ride home after football practice? He's my friend, Andrew Eastman.
Mm.
Good story. Dustin.
That was a Pete story.
That was. Dustin actually said they had to delay the special teams portion of practice on Friday so they could wait for him to get into town so that they could get some extra snaps with him.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday. Yeah.
I want to go back to Tress real quick. I watched American Sniper recently, and Bradley Cooper's motto is to aim small and miss small, and I feel like Tress Way is at that point now. Like, instead of trying to down in the 20, Tress is trying to down it inside the 5. So if he misses small, it still ends up in, like, the 10.
Dude's balling. I'm all right with it.
He is.
I might be game ball hat tipped out.
I think I am too.
Zach Brown had a sack, but that was kind of early. And Daron Payne kind of helped stuff the run and recovered a fumble. It's not his fault the offense didn't capture touchdown. Yeah, I'm good.
How about Preston Smith has disappeared again?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
time for goats. Pete gets a goat for stealing my parking pass that I didn't have parking and had to take an Uber.
You get a what do we call it?
Eye roll.
You get taking the soda can?
No, you get an eye roll because I tried to hand it to you and you're like, what is this parking pass?
I remember that, yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
So you get an eye roll and you get a goat.
Mitch, you get a hat tip for that observation.
Mitch is a game ball always.
I'm just here for observations.
I'm going to start. It's a guy I like. It's a guy I have spoken out on his behalf. Maurice Harris.
Yes.
The muffed punt was just terrible. It in a lot of ways that kind of led to that punt return touchdown. You either don't make that play or you do. You know, like, you don't try to catch an overhand back shoulder punt
into the sun.
And tough situation with that sun there. Dallas gets all the heat. I didn't realize how bad it was here in Jacksonville. It's the same thing.
Holy moly! It was bad in Tampa too. It's actually probably partially late in the year. The sun's lower in the sky.
Right.
But man,
Pete doesn't like sky talk.
Sun That's talk.
Fine. The second half of that game was really hard on the ice.
I think Mo gets one. He also ran out of bounds.
Yeah. He had a drop too on a drive. Yeah. It wasn't his best day.
So that's my first goat. Pete,
by the way, Mo's part of the goat was running out of bounds, which was concerning because it saved Jacksonville a timeout, but then they just returned the punt for a touchdown.
Right.
None of them mattered at all.
I'm going to give one to Byron Marshall, speaking of the punt return touchdown. So everybody knows the play, the punt return, where he inexplicably hit the wrong guy. And somebody asked him in the locker room, I heard, that he felt like if he stopped, he was going to be out of the play regardless. So he just tried to cause chaos by hitting somebody. Don't know if I really buy that explanation. Also, he was the guy who missed the block or got run over on the Josh Johnson fumble that could have cost them the game. So his pass protection continues to be an issue.
Pass protection has been an issue for a while with him.
Yeah, and then that leads to why the hell is he here over Kabir Bibbs. I think that's something we should ask Jay this week and get a
Yeah, I think that's
answer.
A bigger – that's a pod topic. That's something we write about.
Because
Bibbs is good on special teams. All right, here we go. Danny Frank reporting live. Danny says Jay was asked about this. I wanted it there. Go.
So Jay said – they asked him, why did you keep Marshall over Bibbs? And Jay said that they've had Byron in the system since training camp. And he's been very intrigued by his skill set, and it said it could have gone either way. Both are very good players, and he kept Marshall, and that was just their decision.
All right, that's a total non-answer.
Capri has been in here since
Bibbs
camp.
Was there, right. But he has picked Marshall every time over Bibbs. Yeah. Like, this has happened.
Yeah.
Despite
and
the
Marshall
results.
Made a nice catch and made a play, but
Bibbs did that a lot too.
To me, Bibbs was good on specials, and that might need to be the difference with your third string running back. Can you guys hear how bad I'm getting?
I can hear you.
I'm like getting sick on the podcast.
I might give a actually, never mind. Mitch, go ahead.
I feel like this isn't a usual pod for me because I'm being a little tough on the O-line. But Luke Bowanko gets a goat for me.
Yes.
I loved the intensity early in the game. He kind of after a short AP run, he kind of bowled a D lineman over top the pile, and they kind of had to be separated a little bit. It might have been the first play of the offensive play of the game for the Skins, and I was like, okay, Luke, you're coming in with a little fire. I like it. And then he proceeds to just be a turnstile.
And it's like, okay, Luke.
So we're not going to say the name of the coach, but you and I were talking to a Redskins coach last week, I think. And we were asking behind Rouye, who was the backup center? And the coach, the unnamed one of the Redskins, how many coaches they have? 10, 12?
Yeah,
12. One of their coaches was like, you know, Luke. I was like, Luke? He's like, Luke, what the hell is his last
name? What the hell is his last name? That guy.
And who eventually figured it out? You or the coach?
I'm not sure any of us.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, Luke.
It's also the point of the season where so many O-linemen have been coming in.
Well, it's also like a lot of like those conversations with coaches are as they're walking or like kind of brief. Right. So like you can't like sit there like, no, let's hash this out and sort it out.
And like when you catch them like a little bit, like who knows where the mind was at that time, you know, whatever. But that was the backup center gets a goat.
Okay. Are there more?
I'm going to give an eye roll to Vernon Davis for dropping that beautiful pass from Josh Johnson.
Oh, was that drops?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the safety knocked it out of his hands.
Yeah. No, like, it went through his hands. There's no knockout.
Catch the ball either way.
It looked like a great play from the safety. From where I was on the field, it looked like a great play from the safety.
Replay should have went right through Vernon's hands.
Catch the ball, bro.
Yeah.
And we're all fans of Vernon, but that's the name of the game. Anybody else?
I don't know. I don't really know who else will get one.
Yeah, I'm looking. I mean, Josh Holsey missed a couple tackles, but Jay said, I heard him say afterward that he likes Josh Holsey's confidence, and it was, I guess Holsey had a better game than Stroman because we didn't notice him as much.
I roll Swearinger on that, was it Cody Kessler run late in the game, and he just like
punched at the ball from
Haha had a terrible tackle attempt on that too. Both safeties really whiffed hard.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was ugly. And Norman, who's the guy that avoids contact most of the time.
I don't think that's fair. He's for a quarter, he's pretty physical.
That was, yeah, you're right. That wasn't fair.
Gratuitous.
Sometimes avoids contact.
A quarter, hell.
Yeah, did a good job. He also, Norman squared up with Fournette also on the sideline one time, which was, Fournette's a big boy.
Like to fist fight? What do you mean?
No, like took him on shoulder pad to shoulder pad. Didn't dive at the knees.
They got some big dudes on that Jaguar seat. Calais Campbell's on the monster.
He's a transformer,
We were in Arizona. He was in Arizona last year, right?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, man, the guy is just...
Isn't he the dude
even Jalen Ramsey was way bigger than I expected.
That's a good point. He was way bigger than I expected. I thought he was like a little corner.
Well, and I'm looking it up right now. The dude Harrison? Who was that guy?
The safety,
He was a monster.
I mean, their defense... AP, did AP say it?
Yes.
I think... They were a game away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
This is a.
Yeah, he's like, they were big
boys.
We
know how good this
is. Ronnie Harrison. He's a rookie out of Alabama.
That's your boy.
All right, are we done with goats?
Yeah.
All right, let's do the over-unders real quick. We set Josh Johnson's passing total at 200 yards. I kind of wonder what happens if Vernon Davis catches that ball, because he finished with 151. I bet that Vernon catch would have been like at least 30 yards.
I think a better thing for Josh in the future weeks would be
total yards. I agree. I think that's where we go.
Because he has an impact.
We go to Nashville next week. We go to total yards. We all went under, right?
All four of us.
Okay, right.
Yes.
So we all went under. We all got that right. So
no,
do we have like a ding
yet.
Ding noise?
Ding ding ding.
All right, I like that, Mitch.
That's way easier on your voice box.
I feel like I might be able to give you a good buzzer right now. There's some serious congestion going on over here.
My buzzer's feeling good today. I feel good.
Hey, it's your job, dude.
I'm ready for
it. I'm not taking it from
you. Do your job.
Adrian Peterson, yo, Vegas is good.
Bethesda might be better. Bethesda knows.
We set it at 50 yards. What AP finish with?
51.
That's juice. Is that two in a row or just two out of
three? We did that recently with AP where we were one over.
Two out of three.
Yeah. Where it's like nailed.
I think you said it at 69 and he ended up with 70.
Right.
Bethesda
knows. AP went over. I think all three of us went under, correct?
Yeah.
What's that? What do we get? Yep.
That's a good buzzer.
Lastly, the lowest point total in something like 3 years in the NFL. The point total for the Skins game was 36, which is laughably low.
Yeah, the Rams call that a half.
And the final score was 16-13, which means 29 points.
Touchdown.
He's really dragging this out. You hear this?
I can barely breathe. I'm not even trying to drag it out. I'm like...
Still alive, but
things aren't going great
breathing.
Over here. Now Pete's singing. Jeez, talk about a victory pod. So 29 points, game went under. You two, right?
Yeah, your voice is just
I'm telling you, dude. Yeah, I'm like getting pneumonia while we're sitting here.
Ammonia?
Pneumonia.
Pete and I went over.
Yeah, I went
we got
under.
A little frisky.
You two get what? What do I get?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
I also want to be clear that I'm not entirely sure I went under. So I think I won.
You did. Time was the only one that went opposite. Because
I remember Pete saying, "No matter what, we're going to tie."
Right, we all tied because we were the same.
So whatever, you guys gave me the digs. I'm taking the win. Getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's like when the buzzer sounds, you just run off the field before the refs can even review it.
Well, we're going to go to video review.
No, we're not.
Inconclusive, because we don't know what the hell happened at first.
All right, I don't think there's anything else official from football we need to discuss, correct?
Yes, we need some other non-football things.
Sure, but I think we've done a lot of football. How long are we? We got to be 30, 40 minutes here.
We had a couple little pauses in here. We're at 41 minutes.
Okay,
so we're probably about 35
plenty
minutes.
Of football. For the non-stick crowd, you want to hang up, I understand. No sweat.
Good win.
Before you do, exciting. Thank you to the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should do the same. So, big win. It was ugly, but they needed it. That's kind
of
where I'm
leading. It's been all like seven of their wins this year. Right. Ugly, but they needed it.
Right.
Six of them straight up against the spread. I mean, straight up when they were underdogs in Vegas.
Yeah. All right, so our trip to Jacksonville has been fun and terrible. Jacksonville's a terrible city.
Terrible.
Terrible city.
We walked around downtown, and I thought it was like the scenes of a post-nuclear war.
Post-apocalyptic
like,
world. Yeah.
The Walking Dead, like season one.
Like, they have this like downtown kind of wannabe Inner Harbor, Baltimore, that is just all vacant restaurants. And clearly, by a mile, the most popular place was Hooters,
yeah.
Which we didn't even want to go into. As soon as we walked into the area called The Landing is when I got my phone out and pulled up Uber because I wanted to get out of there. Yeah, we made a mistake. So Jacksonville,
as much as we shit on Jacksonville, the beaches and the surrounding areas are beautiful.
It is pretty, but it's 20 minutes away.
Right.
Go to the beaches.
Downtown Jacksonville sucks.
Yeah. All right.
So awful. We
made that the F out of this place.
But what is great is Ponte Vedra and TPC Sawgrass.
Ah, yeah.
That's spectacular.
Nobody has more juice than Danny Frank. Danny got us a tea time at TPC Sawgrass, and we had a blast. Danny won because he's significantly better than all of us. Mitch, of the three of us.
How many birdies did Danny have?
How many birdies, Danny?
Two.
How many did Pete have?
Zero.
All right. So
how many pars did you have, Pete?
Four pars.
The match was F Troop, Danny Frank, JP Finley versus versus Meat, of course. And we've now played golf with two Mount Rushmore listeners. So we've had a match with Danny and we've had a match with Chuck Huddy. And the moral of the story is whoever's on Pete's team loses.
I kind of got the like Mark Sanchez vibe from Mitch. Like once I made one bad shot on the first tee, Mitch kind of quit on me a little bit.
Completely incorrect.
I know.
Mitch was carrying the team.
Mitch was with me the whole time. I sucked. Okay, I put three balls in the water on one hole. I sucked.
All right, real quick, we'll run through the scores.
I was trying to pump you up the whole time.
Mitch,
I'm totally kidding.
We had
irons are like Tressway punts. Stuck the landing.
Ooh, I like that.
That's juicy.
Mitch's irons are like Tressway
punts. Mitch had a couple
punts.
Birdie parts, burn edges.
95?
I was a 95.
I was a 99.
Well, it's also excuses, no excuses, but we did literally step off the airplane, get in a car, drive to Sawgrass, tee off on the first hole.
Yeah.
No putts, no warm-ups.
No nothing.
No stretching, no nothing.
No and stretching.
These, you know, these superb athlete bodies of ours
they need to be
didn't hold
tuned.
Up very well.
I shot a 100.
Yep. All right. That's what I wanted to get out there.
Who found the water on 17, though?
Hold on.
Wait, and I had 86.
You're right. We said it. Danny had 86.
Danny had 86. I had a 95. JP had a 98.
Nine.
99.
100.
And Pete hit the
I had a 99, and I went wet 16, 17, 18.
I insulted.
All three?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, boy.
I insulted Ricky Fowler. I'm sorry, Ricky.
All right. Golf was tremendous. Thank you to, what was our guy's name, the GM over there?
Derek Sprague
gave us a tour afterwards, which was
oh,
just incredible.
Goodness.
We got to see some pretty high-level stuff that
behind
I don't know we're allowed to talk about.
Okay,
we got to see
okay,
the two-member locker room and the champions locker room.
All their old clubs.
The barber chair.
Yeah, it was so cool.
It was incredible.
That place is, if you're into golf, you should just go see it. Just go
it's
have
just
lunch
a beautiful
there.
Walk, yeah,
yeah,
walk
yeah,
around.
Yeah.
You can walk around the property. It's beautiful.
We also had a great time at Waffle House, which I never expected
Waffle
to see.
Waffle House is the best restaurant we've eaten at in Jacksonville. I don't know if that's an indictment on Jacksonville or a compliment to Waffle House.
But we also all got sick.
It was.
I'm
it was
sick. Mitch got sick. You got sick at the other place, right?
Yeah. Waffle House, it was Pete's first experience.
It's the best
at
food
House.
In Jacksonville.
It is. We ate at another restaurant. I had some terrible microwave
fish.
Hippie, how was your tuna at that restaurant?
Or something.
I don't know that I've ever done that before, but I sent my food back. It was tuna with horseradish and olives. What the hell combination is that, Jacksonville?
Well, you,
Jacksonville.
You are the one who ordered it, I will say that much. They had a description and you ordered it.
Yeah, but
no. You see, no one was expecting that, dude.
You see Ahi Tuna, you expect it to be, you have an expectation of what it's going
right.
to be. Not some weird, like, olive crumble on top.
So, I got a game ball for the weather. The weather's been
good. Oh, inanimate object game balls?
That's the best thing about this place.
And I have a goat for Jacksonville.
I have a game ball for the Jaguars pregame playlist. It was fire.
Yo, as soon as I got as soon as I was in position to go live, they turned the bass up and it was like the Golden Knights pregame. Yeah. It was so loud. It was like bumping. Buzzing in my head.
It was bumping.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Yeah, yes, let's rank it.
That was a damn good PB&J.
What is the
sandwich.
Rankings? Out of 10? I don't remember
how
we
did it out of 10.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
It was a solid white bread, good spread of PB and good coverage from the J.
I love your coverage bit. It's so great.
Coverage is important.
Right.
You got to get it all the way to the edges.
Dude, you got to. You get a dry bite at the end.
The crust is a dry part, so you got to get it all the way to the
edges. Another terrible meal we had was the Subway by the airport.
That's our fault for getting Subway.
We ate it at like a gas station.
Subway can be okay. That shit was terrible. Everything is terrible down here, I'm telling you. Unless you're at the beach. The Waffle House at the beach was great.
Spectacular.
You come over that bridge.
They just shower you in bacon at that Waffle House.
They literally brought Pete and JP.
They're like, hey, we have all this extra bacon. You want it? We're like, yes.
17 extra slices.
We're like, we're coming in to have a snack, maybe some fries and some water, and then we left after an 8-course breakfast.
I think it cost $13. Yeah.
We ordered 2 grilled cheese, and you had a side of bacon, right?
Yeah.
And Danny got toast,
and we ate for 40 minutes there because they just kept bringing us free food.
They were pleasant.
Finish your PB&J. I think you had a
markdown.
Oh, yeah, the only knock on it was smooth PB. We need some crunchy in there.
No, incorrect.
Absolutely right. Correct. You have to have some texture.
I was like, I call it PB.
Yeah, just say peanut butter, you weirdo.
I like PB.
Do you say PBJ or PB&J?
PB&J.
All right. Okay. As long as we're all, let's at least be clear on that.
Yeah. PB&J.
What's the right?
It was grape J. It was smooth PB though. That was
grape J.
Strawberry J is the right answer, and J is just weird.
Grape J is the way to go.
Let's just abbreviate everything.
Danny Frank agrees with me, so we're good.
All right. What's the range? DF.
It's the best
BlackBerry.
One yet.
Get the hell out of it. That's a GTFO.
Best one yet of the season.
And you like the FedEx ones.
The FedEx ones are solid.
So a very funny bit. Danny is taking his field producer role seriously and keeping us on track with content. And so as we were leaving, I don't know if we were leaving the locker room or the tunnel or where we were, Danny looked in the locker room and was like, oh, there's no PB&J for Mitch. And I was like, Danny, Mitch is a pro. Something tells me he already got one. Sure enough.
No, I didn't get it before that. I got it after all the players left.
I know that. I'm not saying that. Oh, but like, yeah. We left after you.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sure enough, yeah, I grabbed some.
It
was the best one of the year.
Congrats, Jacksonville. You did something right.
It's the only – the weather and the PB&J is
and,
the only –
and the one and golf course.
Everything at the beach is great. Yes. I want to be clear.
Absolutely.
Everything over there is great. Everything over here.
All of the shit talking that I've done about Jacksonville is about downtown Jacksonville.
Yeah, downtown Jacksonville. That's what we're talking about.
If this becomes the Ponte Vedra Jaguars, I'm in. Otherwise, send this team to London.
And the stadium's wacky. Everything's wacky.
Stadium sucks.
Yep. All right. Are we done?
Yeah.
The only thing I have left on my list is I wrote, Pete had a groin anomaly.
Are we going to go into some detail about Pete's groin anomaly?
He got the serious pat-down at the airport.
Yeah, so we're all going through the airport on Saturday, coming to Jacksonville. Mitch and JP have, like, cool pre-check, so they just blaze through.
Cool pre-check. And everybody has pre-check, dude.
I'm the only person in the security line. It's, like, 7 in the morning. It's just dead empty. I'm like, this will be nice and easy. I go through the machine, put my hands up, come out, and what do? I look at the monitor, and there's just a big yellow square on my crotch. And the guy goes, sir, you have a groin anomaly. And I go, what does that mean? And he's like, do you want a private room? We're going to need JP just spit out his water. He goes, do you want a private screening? And I go, no, I'm okay. And then they started doing the
screening.
Normally
you say yes to private rooms.
So the dude starts doing the screening, and I'm like, oh, shit, I should ask for a private room. Because it got pretty intimate there for a little bit. Turns out, most action I've gotten.
All right.
And then lastly, turns out that there was no groin anomaly. My groin is good, and I was cleared and ready to go.
I'm playing this for me now.
Mitch just died.
Get lucky sometime.
If you made it this far, as always, I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.